Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We are still following international news. It might be an important day here in South Africa and maybe even a stressful day, but there is still a lot of news and important news that we are covering from around the world. And one of them is the meeting in Doha. Well, what does this really mean? How important is it? And is it likely to yield any results? To help us examine the significance of these developments, we are joined by Yigal Marcus. He's director of Republicans Overseas. Yigal, a very good morning and welcome. Welcome back to Chai FM. Great to chat to you. So, of course, countries in the Middle East and indeed around the world are watching these developments very, very closely. What is the expectation? What does what can be achieved and what is rather likely to be achieved?
You know, my father always taught me that life is like an escalator. Mm-hmm. If you're not going up, then you're going down. There's no.
It's like my weight loss. I mean, it's like my weight control. Exactly. Right.
Exactly. Mm. And I think it's the same thing here. We need to have engagement in order to, even if it's not substantive engagement, we need to have engagement in order to not feel like there's a gap and things, and then in a vacuum, I know bad things can happen. Although I'm not sure that, you know, bad things happening aren't necessarily a bad thing.
Bad.
At least for the media and the world news media, who, you know, and the nations of the world that that are weak. I don't know that this meeting is really going to be very substantive. I think it's more a matter of just trying to retain some momentum in whatever this ridiculous process is trying to do for. For the U.S. and Iran.
There's obviously been a lot of back and forth. There's been quite a bit of military action since the last meeting. So is this really simply about pulling it, getting it back on track, or anything substantive?
You know, it's an interesting question. I think the only person on the planet that knows the answer is probably, And I really say that probably, but not 100%, is Donald Trump. I don't even know that his advisors know what he wants to do with this. What's interesting about this whole process is that there are some things that have been proven in the last couple of weeks since Trump announced this ridiculous MOU. One of the things that he proved is that oil markets will react very quickly, and the price of oil will come down very quickly. And that gives him and his policymakers an understanding of just how quickly markets will react to good things. And that actually gives him a little bit more strength going into these negotiations, because if he believes that the markets will continue to act rationally as they have over the last week or two since this MOU was signed and drop dramatically, then if he decided to go back to war and had a substantial hit against Iran, he could also then expect markets to react very quickly for the price of oil to come down, and that gives him more flexibility before the next election. I think that Iran is misreading Donald Trump, and I'm fine with that. By the way, I'm totally fine with that, because this is an evil regime, but they're misreading him, and they think that they're playing with him. But there's a lot that he and his policymakers and his staff are learning about the markets in the interim, and that I think will put them in a position to extract much more. I don't think this deal is going to go anywhere. I think it's going to fail, but they're at least giving it a chance for midterm elections, trying to get the price of oil down, trying to show that he's a peace person, which is, I philosophically disagree with his strategy here, but, there's probably more to the story than we know. Mm. We'll see.
Is it relevant that Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner are going and not
Trump? No, nobody else wants the job. Everyone's against it. Who else is he going to send? J.D. Vance? J.D. Vance, he could send J.D. Vance, but Iran's not sending anybody. I'm not even sure Iran's attending this. You know, the latest reports that I read are Iran says, what meetings? We don't know, but, we're not sending anybody to Doha. So Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff are going to be going on an extended tour of Doha, but I'm not sure there's actually going to be any meetings. But frankly, look around his administration. You know, Pete Hegseth, certainly Marco Rubio, and many, many others are not exactly supportive of this strategy, and for good reason. So, you know, Jared and Steve are the ones that are sort of left with this. But I'm not really expecting any breakthroughs of any sort. The IRGC, a main media outlet, came out a couple of days ago and basically said we need nuclear weapons in order to deter our enemies after this war. So I'm not sure where this is going. We can trick ourselves into believing that Iran is actually going to behave. They're not going to, you know, but we'll see how long the quiet lasts.
It might be, I might be inaccurate in this observation, and I'd like your thoughts on it, is that since the announcement of the signing of this MOU, where we saw Trump making very, very real and overt gestures to Iran, to Turkey, to many of the nefarious, I don't know, players in the region, even going to the point of criticizing Israel. We seem to have, or my observation is that we haven't seen further criticism of Israel over the last short while, over the last 10 days or 2 weeks. And we certainly are seeing a ramping up of rhetoric back towards the behavior of Iran. Number one, is that an accurate observation? And number two, if so, what does that mean?
Yeah, I think it is accurate. I think the J.D. Vance wing of the party made a huge, huge, damaging strategic mistake when he came out and was disgusting and personal and nasty to Israel. That was a huge, huge mistake. You know, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal today about Jews and the upcoming election, and where for the first time in my lifetime, Jews don't seem to, many Jews feel like they don't have a home in between the Democrats or even the Republicans after this ridiculous deal and the rise of the more anti-Israel, partially anti-Semitic wing of the other of the conservative Republican Party. And so, you know, they don't realize that in a midterm election, Jews also get to vote. And many of the Jews that voted for Trump in the last election have real questions, and legitimately so, about, you know, what his policies are with regards to Israel. And they're rethinking that. And the last thing Trump wants to do is to lose those votes. He needs every single one of those votes plus some in order to just retain the power that he has in the Senate and the House of Representatives. And so they made a huge mistake in coming out. It was totally unnecessary, uncalled for, and nasty. And now they're trying to at least create some space between that and those nasty comments. I think the Jewish people and Jewish voters are not going to forget J.D. Vance. But they love Marco Rubio. They love Hegseth. They love other members of the administration. Ambassador Huckabee, of course. So they're not gonna follow J.D. Vance anywhere. But they do know that they have some significant friends in this administration, and we're hoping that that in the next few months, clarity is brought to this MOU motivation. Clarity, understanding what in the world it was there for. And hopefully give clarity to a member of the electorate that right now feels like they don't have a home.
What's also fascinating about this is, you know, everybody, we're often accused of, we all, you know, we work together as, and maybe that's where some of the conspiracy theories come from, you know, that we've got this committee that tell us, you know, what line to follow. But the funny thing is, or the amazing thing is, that whether you're a Jew in Johannesburg or a Jew in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, we look at the situation and we inherently understand it. And we look at J.D. Vance and we understand he's not a friend. We don't need to be told. We don't need a committee. We don't need communication. But somehow it's exactly those names that you've mentioned, both of who we support and who we won't support, is just so clear, even without without it being said. I just find it so fascinating.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. We have a lot to gain and a lot to lose. We are, as they say, Israel is a one bomb country. So the margin for error, the margin for error for allowing a theocratic, fundamentalist Islamist regime to have the bomb when they don't value life and would use it in a half of a second against the Jewish people is not something that we can live with. And so when people come out and are nasty against us, it's an existential threat. It's an existential threat against our people. And we cannot allow those people to rise and become powerful, because that will put not just Israel, but the Jewish people's health at risk. And that's something that we don't forget. We're a little bit paranoid. Jewish people are paranoid,
Okay, we have
but guess
reason.
what? We have good reason. We have good reason to be
Exactly.
paranoid. And so too bad. Get over
Right.
it. JD, get over it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Are you paranoid if everybody really does want to kill you? That is
Yeah.
where we leave it, Yigal Marcus. Thank you, as always, for bringing us that perspective. Yigal is director at Republicans Overseas.